Today is the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany. The epistle for the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany is taken from Colossians chapter 3. Brethren, put ye on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And if any have any complaint against another, even as the Lord hath forgiven you, so you also. But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly and in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles, singing in grace in your hearts to God. All whatsoever you do in word or in work, all things do ye in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 13. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the multitudes. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men were asleep, his enemy came and oversowed cockle among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and had brought forth fruit, then appeared also the cockle. And the servants of the good man of the house coming said to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? Whence then hath it cockle? And he said to them, An enemy hath done this. And the servants said to him, Wilt thou that we go up and gather it all up? And he said, No, lest perhaps gathering up the cockle, you root up the wheat also together with it. Suffer both to grow until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather up first the cockle and bind it into bundles to burn, but the wheat gather ye into my barn. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This coming Friday, we have the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. It's something that Our Lady, she appeared in Lourdes, France in 1858, over a series of 18 times to St. Bernadette. And with that, a lot of times we know the story of Our Lady of Lourdes, we know the cures that take place in the grotto. And even with St. Bernadette, we see how God has blessed her by allowing her to look as if she is just sleeping. Her body is incorrupt to this day. So she died in 1879. And so with that, it is amazing to see her body and how it's been so preserved over all of these years. And we can truly say that it is a mark that heaven has given to her. Maybe we can say that it is the sign of approval of the apparitions. Because any time with apparitions, obviously we have to wait for the church to approve of them. And then when the church approves of them, it is also a means for us then to try to see what is heaven telling us. What is exactly heaven wants us to understand from this? And as I say, with the message of Lourdes, you know, we see the cures, and I think sometimes we lose sight of what Our Lady was also trying to tell us. I mean, granted, it's remarkable to see how many people have been cured. And if you've had a chance to go to Lourdes and to witness that and to see that, it is amazing. It is amazing then for people not to believe in this message from heaven, for them not to believe and see this example of St. Bernadette, her body still incorrupt. But I would say also from that the story of St. Bernadette is one that is also important to us. Because being chosen by God to be this seer, obviously she is special. I mean, when asked about why she was chosen as the seer, St. Bernadette is interesting. She says, it was the simplest, the humblest one who was chosen. And this is not a false humility that St. Bernadette gives to us. For St. Bernadette, she was 14 at the time of the apparitions, but it wasn't until she was 14 and a half that she received her first Holy Communion. And we may ask, why so late? It is because St. Bernadette, she had a struggle with the lessons. She was humble, she was ignorant in the sense that she did not know that much. And I think all the more so do you see the hand of God in that. Because look how God chooses. God will choose the ones that are humble. God will choose the ones that maybe to the world they look and wonder, how can this be? You know, how can they be giving us a message when they maybe can't even receive their Holy Communion until 14 and a half? But all the more so do you see then the hand of God in that. Do you see how God has chosen this little soul to be this messenger of what a message that we have even until this day? And as I said, that is why we can't lose sight of what the message is. And throughout the apparitions that Our Lady had appeared to us, we can always say there are common themes. Common theme that she's trying to get across to us. In school, teachers will probably say that sometimes repetition is the only way to try to instruct. We go over things. Maybe your parents think the same way to your children. That you have to say things many times before they will finally listen and they will finally do it. And so maybe that is the same way that the Mother of God has deemed her children on earth. That we have to continue to get these same messages before finally we will wake up and do something about it. And that is when we look at the message of Fatima. One of the main things that Our Lady tried to get across to all of us is the idea of penance. To do penance, whether for our own sins or the sins that are out in mankind. And so that was something that Our Lady asked Bernadette to do. And if you read an account of the apparitions, possibly to us, when we read these accounts, we wonder, why would Our Lady ask Bernadette to do some of the things that she did? One, to see if she was willing to listen. If she was willing to listen to this vision. Don't forget, it wasn't until later on, after many of the apparitions, did Our Lady finally tell her who she was. Saint Bernadette was very, very sure of who it was at the very start. Because she said of the beauty of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But it wasn't until later on that Our Lady told her that I am the Immaculate Conception. And that is one of the points that finally the parish priest realized that she must be telling the truth. Because as I mentioned, she was an ignorant little girl, ignorant because she did not know much. And so it was only 4 years previous, in 1854, that the dogma of the Immaculate Conception was proclaimed by the Church. So certainly this little girl who did not even receive her Holy Communion until a half a year after the apparitions would have known such a term. And so that convinced the parish priest that she obviously must be getting this from heaven. There's no way that this little girl would have known that term. And so for Bernadette, as she was leaving the grotto, she kept repeating this term over to us because she did not want to forget it. Because she didn't understand what it meant. She said, well, this is who the person said that they are. And so you can see how then the hand of God worked in this. She was ridiculed at first. It is very similar to the children at Fatima. They weren't believed. They were ridiculed at the very start. But she said she was drawn to the grotto, to where Our Lady had appeared to her. She said it was like an overwhelming feeling that she must go there, regardless of what she was told or warned against. People thought she was hallucinating. People thought she was looking for money. And yet, St. Bernadette kept going. She kept going because she knew that this was coming from heaven. And so for one, her obedience to this is remarkable for a little girl, for someone who is 14. Her obedience is remarkable that she would continue to go. And then to see from that what was asked from her, as I say, the obedience that was also asked by Our Lady for her to do certain things, like drinking the water, which appeared to everyone else that she was drinking mud, that she would do these things in order to prove her obedience and her willingness to serve Almighty God. And so Our Lady had tried to instill in her this idea of penance, this idea of sacrifice. So prayer and penance, it would remain to be the message of Our Lady in all of the different apparitions. As I say, this common theme to us. And yet, when we look at the time period, 1858, truly, what would Our Lady say today? How much more of a need there is of prayer and penance today? I think, unfortunately, it is lacking in us. It is lacking in us to perform these penances, to make these sacrifices. Because it's certainly not the way of the world. But with Bernadette, we see how truly she wanted to be pleasing to God. She wanted to do these things. And she had a true humility in recognizing the fact that she was a humble soul, that she needed to be led by Almighty God. And she was. She was led by God. And so she was willing to perform these things. As I say, a 14-year-old, 14 and a half years old, that she was willing to do all of these things. 18 times to come to the grotto to listen to this message. And she was determined to make sure that this message from heaven was answered. The parish priest was supposed to make sure that a church was built in honor of Our Lady. And so she kept reminding him, you know, don't forget you have to build that church. I mean, just think of a 14-year-old little girl looking up at the parish priest or the bishop and telling him, don't forget you have to do this. Because she certainly wanted to make sure that she was doing her part. And so this humility that she had in making sure that these things were done, what a docile instrument. And I think for us, that is the message, that is the example that should be shown to all of us. That all of us are called to be docile instruments. And I mentioned to you before in different ways, God doesn't expect the extraordinary out of us. He is just looking for the ordinary. But all he wants from us is to be this docile instrument, a willingness to do his will in all of us. And so whether it's becoming a martyr, whether it's one that is passing on a message from heaven, or just doing your duty, that is what God wants from you. That is how God wants us to live our lives now, because that is the thing that St. Bernadette showed to us, a detachment from her own will, and truly she showed that obedience of listening to the Mother of God, this message from heaven. And so it's clear to us to see St. Bernadette. But it's very easy for us to pass on to say, well, she was protected from very early in her life. You know, look, she has an incorrupt body. You know, God has given her all these things, so no wonder it was easy for her to obey. But put ourselves in that same position. How would we react as 14 years old, a possibly receiving a vision from heaven, yes, but everyone else telling us that we must be hallucinating, we must be nuts? That can't be the case. How many of us would then continue on and to go there and to listen to this message and maybe do things that seemingly are strange for us and yet still do it? Because she was convinced it was the Mother of God. That confidence that she had. I mean, that is what heaven is trying to tell us. And that is why heaven has given her that grace of an incorrupt body. To help us to see this example. As I say, it's too easy for us to pass over these things and then just to not even look at them. To not be amazed ourselves by St. Bernadette being incorrupt to this day. I'm just looking at the pictures of her. She looks like she is just sleeping. It is amazing to witness that. And yet, you think about the people out in the world that see that and to say, well, it must be some sort of a fake thing. It's like, well, explain it then. How is it fake? I mean, they can't even do that. You know, here you have science and it, all its wonders, and they can't even prove it wrong. They can't even come up with anything empirical or anything to show that it's wrong. But they just came up, it's a something. It's a hoax in some way. But they can't prove it wrong. And so that is the thing that we see. God has blessed this. God has blessed this message for us. And we need to listen. We need to heed what Our Lady is saying. And so she's instructing us prayer and penance. Yes, at the time of 1858. But heaven just wonders what she would say today. All the more so do we need prayer and penance. And all the more so do a lot of times people just shrug that off and just live their lives. We cannot do that. We have got to try to accept what heaven is telling us. Because with that, St. Bernadette, she gives us these examples, you know, of obedience, of not wanting to do her own will. But then also that humility in listening to the message from God. And when St. Bernadette later in her life, when she was asked if she could sum up her life, how would she do it? You know, how would she basically sum up having these apparitions at 14 and then going to the convents in Nevers and then dying there at a young age at 36? You know, how would she sum up her life? And it's interesting to see how St. Bernadette does so. She said, to suffer in silence for Christ is joy. So to suffer in this way, she said, is a great joy for God. To be able to be one that suffers for our Lord. And to read her life and to read her spiritual letters. There's a book that I'm reading right now. You see this girl who's supposedly ignorant, and you see the wisdom in what she says. It is amazing to see that. And so here you have her talking about wanting to try to do these things for our Lord. And so when she says to suffer in silence for Christ is joy, she means it. And that is how she had to do it. She suffered in silence when people didn't think she was true, that it was an honest apparition or anything. She suffered all of these things for our Lord. And so she gives us this message. She also said to obey is to love. How simply put, but how true it is. Because for her, the obedience that she showed to all this was a manifestation of her love of God. As I said, she realized that she was called to this. And whether all the people around her told her she was nuts in following it, she didn't care. She wanted to heed what this beautiful lady had asked of her. And so for her, that was a true sign of her love for God. And so St. Bernadette, when she sums up her life this way, we may look at it and say, oh, those are beautiful words, but it's very hard to put into practice. And it is true. It is very hard to put into practice at times. It is hard for us, but it will be worth it. It will be worth it for us to put that into practice, to suffer in silence for Christ. That is joy. But then to also to obey. To obey is to love. So as I say, when we think about Our Lady of Lourdes, you know, we think about all of the cures. But that is one of the things that Our Lady told St. Bernadette about the cures. They must go with confidence and trust. That is how they will gain the cures. And so throughout the message of Lourdes, there's many things for us to learn from that. There's many things for us to try to put into practice in our own lives. So do pray for these graces, especially as the feast is coming up this coming Friday. Take advantage of that time. take advantage of that time to pray, especially those that are Knights of the Immaculata. I would encourage you to try to at least spend some time in the chapel on that day. In Post Falls, we had tried to do adoration, especially the men, we would try to do from Compline to midnight. And so that is the day that they had chosen. So it would be good to unite yourself, all of you, together. You don't have to go from 9 to midnight, I'm not asking that. But to spend some time on that day and uniting together, to praying for these graces for all of us, to ask the Immaculata, Our Lady, that is what she referred to herself in Lourdes, I am the Immaculate Conception, to ask for these graces for ourselves, for our families, that we can follow the example of St. Bernadette. That we can truly follow that example of obeying and suffering and doing it for love of God. And by doing so, then we can follow the path that St. Bernadette set for us and what Our Lady had said to her at one of the points in the apparition. I do not promise you happiness in this life, but in the next. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.